Ever wonder how television evangelists rake it in, but you sometimes can't get even a single prayer answered? Well, you're as righteous as anyone, but maybe God didn't hear you. The Almighty has a lot to do, and your prayer does compete with countless others. But don't lose faith. We have the answer, the prayer antenna. That's right, the prayer antenna. You see, when a television evangelist prays with his arms in the air, it's not just cheap theatrics. It actually improves the reception to the man upstairs, just like the rabbit ears on an old TV. The prayer antenna takes this even further. It's state-of-the-art nichrome alloy wire runs from your heart to your fingers. It's like broadcasting on a powerful transmitter. The boost is heavenly. Just listen to these testimonials.
The prayer antenna got me a new girlfriend in 2 days. It really works.
After just one use, I got paroled 6 months early.
And that Florida election fiasco, they're about to count the votes. Scary. One night with that prayer antenna, the Supreme Court put my ball in the White House.
Make sure God hears your prayer. Get the prayer antenna. It may be the best decision of your life.
Or afterlife.
Call now. The prayer antenna is only $19.95 plus $6.95 shipping and handling. Operators are standing by. Offer not valid for Jehovah's Witnesses or in New York State. Not for use in other religions. Allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Your results may vary. Call now.
Now, on last week's show, we promised that this show would be about Picnic Day, UCD's open house to the world, but things did not work out quite like we planned. I, in fact, didn't attend Picnic Day, neither did our Steve Alexander, who, along with his three sons, was supposed to ride all over the campus with us with walkie-talkies and report back to you on what we found. Well, this didn't work out, and let's go now to our special student correspondent, Steve Valentino. Are you there, Steve?
Good evening, Doug. It's great to be here.
We're glad to have you. You did make it to Picnic Day.
Yes, I did, actually. But, you know, before we get into Picnic Day, I just wanted to mention, I was kind of perusing here on the Internet before you called, and I found an actual ad campaign for Hong Kong, tourism ad campaign.
Which is currently being hit by the SARS virus and they're grounding flights and...
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was an ad that they just had to pull. It was called "Hong Kong Will Take Your Breath Away." This is an actual ad.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, the message was not getting through at that
point. Oh, no, the message got through loud and clear. It just wasn't quite the message they envisioned. Yes, you want to keep breathing. That's important.
Mm.
So, you do have access to what, the newsroom down there? You're down here frequently, aren't you?
I don't have any keys yet, but I usually can make my way into the newsroom.
Anything exciting in the local front to report?
Nothing right now. I mean, basically the big story has been the rain at Picnic Day.
Well, then let's go back to Picnic Day. I with the best of intentions, had a bicycle in proper Davis fashion in the trunk of the car, and I tooled over to see what was what, and it looked like I was feeling like Noah.
It was of biblical proportions, yes.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just an absolute deluge.
It was coming down.
Yeah. The rain, it really did just put a tremendous damper on everything, and they did manage to move a lot of the events inside.
Tell a bit about those. I got to Davis, looked out, it was cold, it was raining cats and dogs, and I drove back to Sacramento. So I wanted to see things like the Dachshund races, you know?
Well, they did put the Dachshund races. That's always been in the rec hall.
Yeah.
Because it's such a popular event. I mean, we spent about 45 minutes over there because it's just, I mean, it's hilarious to watch these dogs running.
Right.
And, you know, most of them, usually each race, there was only about one or two that actually knew to run all the way to the other side of the track.
Uh-huh.
Most of them would just kind of run around in circles or just run off the track altogether.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, very popular event.
There's one dachshund that seems to win year after year. It seems the thoroughbred of the dachshunds.
No, actually, that dachshund was dethroned this year.
Oh,
I don't remember the exact
upset.
Name. But, yes, there was a tremendous upset towards the end.
Correct me if I'm wrong. When you watch those dachshunds, they basically put, like, these rabbits they pull along on cables or something and really fast, and the dachshunds run after them. It seemed to me that, you know, a dachshund in a you know, just a hard sprint like that could probably outrun most people.
They go actually remarkably fast. They have this kind of way they just kind of bend together in the middle and snap back, and they just kind of fly across the tarp there.
Like a cheetah.
It's just like a cheetah, actually.
Bending at the spine.
Yes.
All right. Well, did you see anything of scholarly interest that our audience may need to hear about?
Well, there was a fashion show that they had outside, which, I mean, because they had the runway and everything, which it was kind of difficult, again, because of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
They got about halfway through that before the tarp collapsed on them. And I really did, you know, I did feel
Seriously?
Bad. Yes, the tarp did come crashing down.
Oh, my.
But, you know, I did feel bad for the models because, you know, most of the people who are designers aren't designing big, frumpy raincoats.
Yeah.
You know, they're designing these little cocktail napkins that people
right.
wear.
Now, the raincoat guy would have had a field day.
Yeah. So, I felt bad for the models. But, you know, they had some stuff going on outside. I had one of the best salads I've ever had. Now, I don't know how interested our listeners are in that, but they did have...
Was that one with native plants or edible plants, or was that just...
It was not... last year, we did see an exhibit on edible weeds.
Yeah.
Which I found absolutely fascinating. Actually, I went back to my garden, and you know, that's one of the great things about picnic days, that there's just so much information, so much stuff that's put out there
right.
that's from the university. And the interesting thing this year that I also noticed is that the focus wasn't so much on the academic side of the university, and I think maybe just because of the weather and not everything could be outside, but it definitely seemed to be much more about music and kind of providing entertainment and kind of just a fun family entertainment day.
Yeah. Well, looking up on the web, one of the things that I would have liked to have seen had I braved the rain is there apparently every year there the chemistry department puts on a magic show that I think involves some chemistry chicanery that apparently sells out, or the space is limited. It isn't; they don't charge for tickets. But that's on my list of things to do next year for Picnic Day.
Mm-hmm. We tried to actually get in to see that, and the line, it was just packed. So there was, it was completely sold out.
Well, they must be doing something pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, I think, one of the two biggest events, that and the dachshund races that they have on campus.
All right. Well, I've seen the dachshunds in years past, but next year I'm going to mark on the calendar to see the chemistry.
And also what was great was the Battle of the Bands, which they had down in the Arboretum, which I don't know if you remember from last year, but they played all kinds of hits like The Stripper and Come On, Eileen.
All right. Well, on a slightly different subject I wanted to address, that you're part of the KDVS news team, Steve, is that you did something interesting, I thought, when you had a show in Chico on community radio. You went down to Fremont in the wake of the Afghani conflict to talk to some people, I guess, at the Palmier Market, and which I know about from knowing about your show in Chico. What struck me as odd was that apparently you beat NPR to them by a couple of weeks.
Yes, actually, I did manage to do that. Oh, I didn't know that until you had just told me. But, I do have some connections with the Afghan community in Fremont, which actually, as you may know, is the largest Afghan community in the United States. And for the listeners that don't know, there is a market down there which supplies Afghan food. It's called the Palmier Food Market. And the the owner of that market was in former Mujahideen. And he fought against the Soviets. He has a variety of interesting stories.
Did you know that, or did you just go down to the market finding any kind of Afghani establishment to talk to somebody?
I was just trying to find anyone I could talk to I could, and I just happened to stumble upon him. And, you know, word started to get out, and so these other news organizations started coming down. And, he was interviewed by just about everyone, including, I think, CBS News.
Well, I think that we need to dust off your connections to that community. And as a special correspondent, go down there and talk about how things are going in Afghanistan, because it appears at this point we're about to embark on our third war in 2 years with the next upcoming candidate to be Syria. Things have not been put to bed in Baghdad, and people are saying in the Bush administration that we have no interest in invading Syria yet, which if I were the Syrians would make me very nervous. But... things have not been settled in Afghanistan. I think we should go talk to some people who are Afghans and find out what the status is back there.
I'd be more than happy to do that for you, Doug.
All right, well, that's an assignment we'll have to run down sometime in the next few weeks. We'll see you then.
Thank you, Doug. Bye.
That was special student correspondent Steve Valentino. Now, to rather dramatically change the subject, you know, we pride ourselves on being occasionally a science program, but we haven't done much science lately. I want to just throw one little blurb out at you that I saw in the current edition of Science News. Spacecraft reveal Mars' molten heart. The core of Mars is at least partially liquid, planetary scientists have concluded. The red planet hasn't completely cooled since its formation 4.5 billion years ago, and its core is either made of entirely of liquid iron or has a solid iron center surrounded by molten iron, researchers report in an upcoming Science magazine. Now, personally, I have a little bit of skepticism about all these models about how big the core is and what it's made of, but I think they can make some pretty good guesses. What's really odd about this is there's a lot of focus now on water on Mars. There appears to be some. It appears to be more geologically active than we thought. And this evidence, which comes from Charles Yoder of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, looks like pretty good science. And I think this makes Mars a more interesting place and one that we need to go and visit more often. I promise you, too, that we're going to talk about genetic engineering, specifically that book, The Botany of Desire, but I'm not going to predict when we're going to talk about it because I've been burned too many times. I've been predicting we're going to talk about this for about 4 weeks in a row. We'll get to it. I swear to God we will, but I'm not going to tell you when, but I'm hopefully it'll be in the next couple weeks. Also in the weeks to come will be a return to our previous excellent interview with Bill Turner. A man who was in the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, who stood up to Hoover as an FBI agent and lived to tell the tale. One of the people that Bill Turner worked with back in the 1960s, Edward Keating, the founder of Ramparts Magazine, passed away earlier this month. And we're going to go back to talk to Mr. Turner about Edward Keating, because I think that Ramparts did some very interesting investigative journalism back in the 60s, still sort of regarded with awe in retrospect by an awful lot of people. And there's an interesting tale in that, I'm sure, and we'll be bringing that to you. Our legal correspondent, Steve Alexander, educated us a bit last week about the likelihood of tobacco firms who are suing California over ads getting anywhere with it. And in spite of their cockamamie interpretation of what the Constitution of the United States says, they may have some legal grounds to advance their case. Responding to the legal filing in an open forum in the San Francisco Chronicle was California Governor Gray Davis. And I just want to quote briefly from the governor. "The line Big Tobacco is taking is an old one, fashioned by media consultants at the Tobacco Institute soon after Prop 99 passed. The industry's fear of the potency of anti-tobacco advertising is undisguised in an April 1990 Institute memo. The internal memo outlines a campaign to divert states' funding from the anti-tobacco ads to other uses, such as local spending on medical care, that the Institute felt would be difficult to oppose. Our goal, says the memo, is to keep the advertisements, not the tobacco industry, at the center of the controversy." The governor is, of course, completely right about this. Adult smoking in the state is at a record low. It's dropped from 21.7% in 1989 to 16.6% last year. In other states where they don't take tobacco money and spend it on anti-tobacco ads, a lot of other things get funded. Schools, clinics, all sorts of things with tobacco money that are beneficial but don't really directly get at the heart of smoking. This is what the tobacco industry does not want to see continue in California, and which must continue. Now, on the line here, apparently, my sound engineer tells me, we have from Hollywood our Hollywood correspondent, David Rosenblum. David, what are you doing for the Pentagon?
Douglas, they called me at YIMBY Services.
Now, that's your company.
Yes. Yeah, you remember. It's an acronym for Yes in My Backyard, YIMBY. You've heard of NIMBY, remember? Not in my backyard. Well, I turned it around.
Say yes instead of no.
Yes, it's upbeat.
Okay, and what's its purpose?
If you need a grassroots-like organization, I supply it.
To say turn out in force to support a bone meal processing plant going into your neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly, and who wouldn't? Look, sometimes people may not like meetings. You know, they don't have time, they're busy. We provide proxies for them to carry the signs, shout slogans, argue for something.
So if no one's showing up to fight for, say, a smokestack belching tire-burning plant going up in your neighborhood, you find advocates.
Exactamundo. Look, there are a lot of out-of-work actors these days, you know.
You hire actors.
I do.
You tell them what to say?
Well, No, we wouldn't presume to sway people. These are not scripted affairs. It's like a reality show, only real.
But you might suggest their stance at a city council meeting.
Suggest only, yes. These actors are playing real concerned citizens in real grassroots-like organizations.
Well, what other grassroots-like movements have you helped?
Well, in California, there was Smokers' Rights.
Uh-huh.
In Nevada, there was the Friends of Lucky Luciano Indian Casino and Nuclear Test Site. Now, that has been a cash cow, believe me.
I see.
And in Washington, D.C., we formed Jubilant Iraqis, Inc.
Did you use real Iraqis?
Whenever possible, yes. And only 5 months after opening our new office, we landed the contract for the statue pulldown in the Central Square of Baghdad.
The one that was on TV on April 9th.
Was there another one? Of course. Suffice it to say that when a statue of Kim Jong-il needs toppling or Bashar Assad of Syria needs to be grounded, so to speak, YIMBY will be there.
Well, that was the photo op of the war.
Tell me about it. In 3 minutes, we made the case to the public that Jubilant Iraqis had knocked down the statue of Saddam. The war was now symbolically over.
How did you get it down, by the way?
Well, it was a tank mounted with a special boom.
So it really wasn't the Iraqis who toppled it?
No. We would disagree with that statement. Look, Iraqis could have done it, wanted to, but the tank just sped things up. That's all.
What's next for you in the world of Pentagon PR?
Oh, this you're going to love this, Doug. I got the contract to develop the theme and the theme music for the attack on Syria. I'm also being considered for attacks on Iran and Mexico.
Did you say Mexico?
No, I didn't. No. Scratch that. Syria. That's our focus. Forget the rest.
What sort of theme are you eyeing?
Well, there was Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan, and then Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Which apparently freed the Iraqi people from most of their cultural heritage.
Can you stop being Mr. Negative for 1 minute? I'm leading up to something.
Okay, like Operation Blank Freedom for Syria.
No. I feel we're overusing the whole freedom thing. You can't use it every time.
No.
You need a new angle.
For Syria.
Yes. You see, we want to go in, but there's hesitancy, you know.
Well, it might be nice to finish earlier jobs before embarking on a new war.
So it's like, should we stay or should we go? Should we go or hold? There's bound to be some debate. So when we do decide to go, we play up the angle of deciding, then acting, you know? I see the perfect theme as bust a move.
Bust a move.
Sure, you got the army in Baghdad and the Marines. Damascus is a short drive away. It's perfect. But then you think, what would people say? Ooh, yeah, you hold back a bit.
So then, time to decide.
To bust a move, precisely.
Invade Syria in Operation Bust a Move.
Couldn't have summed it better myself. And I have taken the liberty of securing the rights to the hip-hop crossover classic known as Bust a Move.
Not surprising.
It'll pep things up. Look, a lot of these war operation theme songs are doggone dull, you know? Why do they sound so dirge-like?
Well, maybe someone thought the gravity of death and destruction should be reflected in the music.
Yeah. Well, big mistake. Trust me, that is not good marketing.
So you want peppy?
Yeah, up, light, snappy, hip.
A war theme that really gets your fingers snapping.
A real toe-tapper, yeah, that's what I have.
Well, we'll see how it sells.
It's a seller's market, baby.
War is good for many businesses.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, though, if you think about it.
Do you think about it?
No, what a downer that would be. Come on.
All right, David.
You know, I really got to run, but it's been a pleasure as always.
All right, well, come again.
I will. You know that. Love you, baby. Just bust a move.
All right, that is it for today's show. We'll see you again, hopefully, next Thursday at 5 o'clock. This is Radio Parallax. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM. I'm Douglas Everett. Stay tuned now for Hometown Atrocities with your host, Todd Urich. Theater gets dark just to start the show. Then you spot a fine woman sitting in your row. She's dressed in yellow. She says, hello, come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust a move. Some play, then you try to make a move and she says no way. Girls are faking, goodness saking.
materialistic. Looking for a man makes them opportunistic. The lion on the beach perpetrating a tan so that a brother with money can be their man. So on the beach you're strolling, real high rolling. Everything you have is yours and not stolen. A girl runs up with something to prove, so don't just stand there, bust the move. Brother Larry, in 5 days from now he's gonna marry. He's hoping you can make it there if you can, cause in the ceremony you'll be the best man. You say neato, check your libido and roll to the church in your new tuxedo. The bride walks down just to start the wedding, and there's one more girl you won't be getting. So you start thinking, then you start blinking. A bridemaid looks and thinks that you're winking. She thinks you're kinda cute, so she winks back, and now you're feeling really firm cause the girl is stacked. Reception's jumping, bass is pumping. Look at the girl and your heart starts stumping. Says she wanna dance to a different groove. Now you don't want to do G, bust the move.